Picture two energetic sheepdogs that help the shepherd corral his flock. Sometimes the sheepdogs steer the sheep in the right direction. Sometimes they chase a straying sheep back to the flock, or spur the slow, lazy sheep forward from behind. A good shepherd always needs a good pair of sheepdogs. Reflecting upon this pastoral scene, David, the shepherd boy who became king, writes poetically, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Our good shepherd's mercy follows us as surely as his goodness does. He is faithful even when we are faithless. No matter how and where our shepherd leads us, we can always trust him to follow us with the sheepdogs of heaven. I'm Ron Jones, and this is Something Good.
Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That's Psalm 23:6, and this is Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. I'm Brian Davis. Thanks for stopping by. Well, if you're a believer in Christ, the Lord's goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, too, even on days when he seems far away. Today, Ron explains how God's goodness and mercy work together in our lives as he moves ahead in his series, Psalm 23 and Me, Living the Good Life with the Good Shepherd. Online, you'll find us at somethinggoodradio.org, where you can hear any of Ron's messages on demand on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Download or subscribe to the podcast at Spotify, at Apple Podcasts, or wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Now, here's Ron with part two of his message, The Sheepdogs of Heaven.
Do you know for sure that you possess the free gift of eternal life? But is there anything else we can be sure of? Anything else where we can raise our hand confident, dry and secure, right? Raise your hand if you can say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, with that in mind, let's get to know these two sheepdogs a little bit better, starting with the sheepdog named Goodness. Now, we've been talking over these weeks about our good shepherd, Jesus, who declared, "I am the good shepherd." But not all shepherds are good to their sheep. In fact, some shepherds use and abuse their sheep for profit, for personal gain. Jesus, the good shepherd, warned about bad shepherds. He called them hirelings. They are those who see the wolf coming and abandon their sheep. But the good shepherd of our souls is not that way. He even has a sheepdog that he brings along called Goodness. He's good to us. Raise your hand again and say, surely goodness shall follow me all the days of my life. The goodness of God is well documented in the Bible. Let me give you a few examples, starting in Psalm chapter 34 and verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How about Psalm 31 and verse 19? Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you. We'll stay in the Psalms for another one. Psalm 107 and verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. And then we fast forward to the New Testament to one of my favorite verses, kind of a life verse. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Begins with the Apostle Paul raising his hand and declaring confidently, and we know that all things, that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Be careful with this verse. It doesn't promise that all things are good. We know better than that. When you're going through a bad time, a hard time, a difficult time, don't try to convince yourself that this is good. Not all things are good. We live in a fallen, sinful world. And there are some really, really bad things that happen that are a result of our fallen, sinful nature. and fallen, sinful humans bumping into each other, billions of us on this planet. Bad things happen. But the promise to the sheep of his pasture is that we know this. We can raise our hand and confidently know that God works all things together for good to those who love him, to those who are the called according to his purpose. This is a promise uniquely directed to the sheep of his pasture. And he says, we know this. We know this is true. Not all things are good, but God can pick up the broken pieces of your life and fashion them together into something good. Kind of like an artist picks up broken pieces of glass and makes a beautiful mosaic. Eugene Peterson paraphrased Romans 8 and verse 28 this way. He says, every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. More than a decade ago, God used that rewording of Romans 8, 28 to inspire the naming of a radio broadcast we started called Something Good. And every day, in one way or another, as we deliver God's word to people, we're saying to our listeners, God is up to something good in your life. He really is. It may not feel that way right now. It may not seem that way. Give him time to pick up those broken pieces and work them into something good. Because surely, surely goodness shall follow me all the days of my life. Something good is more than a catchphrase to us at the ministry. One of our new listeners, I thought I'd share this with you today, Cindy from Minnesota, was going through a pretty hard time. And she came across the daily radio program. She said, my dad passed away. And while I was driving home, I happened upon your radio program. You talked about redemption. I normally would not have listened, but I was intrigued by what I heard. I want to hear more. I'm not a religious person, but I could not turn the program off. I want to learn more. That's God's goodness coming after her. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Hey, what are the implications of the goodness of God? Well, to say the shepherd of our soul is good is to say that he is kind, he is benevolent, he is gracious. He is generous at the highest level that anybody could express. Let me say that again. God's goodness means that he is generous and kind and gracious at the highest level that anybody could express or experience. God does the most good anyone can in the universe. He is a good God and a good shepherd. I'm reminded of Jim Collins' famous book, Good to Great. It was a business book. He talked about how some businesses are good, others are great, and gave a little bit of a pathway for businesses to go from good to great. All of that is great in corporate life and business life. But just remember, God is both good and great at the same time. When we say he is a good shepherd, that's the highest of excellence when it comes to goodness and graciousness and kindness and generosity toward us. Furthermore, God is not good because he does good things. No, he's good because by nature he is good. He can't help but be good and gracious and kind and benevolent and generous to us. God is also not more or less good today than he was yesterday. You can't wake up in the morning and say, no, it's a bad day, therefore God must not be good today. He turned off his goodness today. No, he didn't. He's not more or less good today than he was yesterday. And finally, God is good all the time. He's good all the time to those who love him. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, underscore this, all the days of my life. There's not a single day that you and I will live where God's goodness, not to mention his mercy, are not flanking us on either side like two sheepdogs from heaven, following us all the days of our lives, coming alongside us in the good times and the hard times. All the days of our lives, David said. But it still begs the question, if God is so good, if our good shepherd is so good, why do bad things happen to good people? Even God's people. Well, aren't you glad for the book of Job? I mean, our good shepherd anticipated that question. From Genesis chapter 3 forward, he knew that we'd be living in a fallen world and bad things would happen to even God's people. Even a man like Job, who was, from heaven's perspective, a righteous man. You expect bad things to happen to bad people. But how do you process when bad things happen to God's people? Well, in the book of Job, it reads almost like a cosmic contest between God and Satan, between ultimate good and absolute evil. You remember the story. Job loses everything. And when I say everything, I mean his wealth, his business, his health. There was even a day when news came to him that a tornado wiped out all 10 of his children. How do you receive news like that? There's nothing good about that. And for the next, I don't know, 30, almost 40 chapters, Job and his three friends get in a conversation. And, you know, the three friends, I put the word friends in quotes there, you know, try to explain why Job, there must be something wrong in your life. No, he was a righteous man. He's a good man. But something bad happened in his life. And then toward the end of the book, God finally tells Job to sit down and button it up. Who is this who darkens counsel with words without knowledge? Job, sit down and just listen. And for the next three chapters, God gives I call it a non-answer. He flexes his cosmic muscles. Says, Job, where were you when I created the stars? Job, where were you when I put the goats up high in the mountain where they live? Job, do you know where the storehouses of hail are and snow? And all of it just set Job back on his heels. Job realized that an all-wise God allows pain and suffering for a season, and does so in a way that human beings with limited knowledge cannot fully comprehend. But it doesn't negate the fact that surely goodness shall follow me all the days of my life. You can't say surely and isolate it in a single day or a single moment or a single experience. You got to look at it over the long haul and give God opportunity to work all things together into good in this life. And keep in mind, this life is just a blip compared to eternity.
Still ahead, the second half of today's Something Good radio message with Dr. Ron Jones, lead pastor at Crossway Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. If you haven't already, stop by our website, somethinggoodradio.org, when you get a chance. You'll find our streaming platform for the entire media ministry, as well as our digital library, where you can search for biblical answers to your most challenging questions. Watch, listen, and download for free. That's somethinggoodradio.org. We have a great resource to share with you today, a book by Dr. Ron Jones that covers every book of the Bible. It's called The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible, and both volumes are our gift to you when you make a donation of $50 or more to support the media ministry of Something Good. That's volumes 1 and 2 of Ron's book, The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible. This is our way of saying thank you for your generous gift to support the ministry of Something Good Radio. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or over the phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099. Or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia, 23456. Ron joins me in the studio in just a few moments, but first, let's listen closely as he talks about the goodness and mercy of God in the rest of today's message, The Sheepdogs of Heaven.
Let's get to know the sheepdog named Mercy now. Our good shepherd's mercy follows us as surely as his goodness does. The Bible also renders this word translated mercy as loyal love, a steadfast love or unfailing love. That's why some of your translations might read, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. In the Hebrew language, it's that rich, just wonderful Hebrew word, hesed. And it speaks of God's covenantal love, something upon which we can count all the days of our lives. Even when we are faithless, He is faithful and remains faithful to Himself. We can think of God's mercy this way. The goodness of God is akin to God's grace, right? And grace is cousin to God's mercy. To change the analogy a bit, they're kind of two sides of the same coin. Or let's go back to the more fun analogy, two sheepdogs from heaven, goodness and mercy. Grace and mercy. Grace is God giving us good things that we do not deserve. Listen, if the only thing God did was to send His good shepherd, His Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the cross to pay the penalty for our sins so that we could be redeemed and forgiven and have a home in Him, if that's all He ever did for us, that's good enough. Why should I complain about anything else? This life is going to be gone in a nanosecond. But He's preparing us for eternity. Grace is God giving us good things we do not deserve. Mercy, though, is God withholding from us the divine punishment we do deserve. And we see both the goodness and mercy of God, the grace and the mercy of God inside the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's an interplay between these two cheeky sheepdogs. Let me say it to you this way. After we've been pronounced guilty of breaking God's commands, that's Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 declares the death penalty. The wages of sin is death. However, while we were on death row awaiting our eternal execution, an accused but innocent man received our death penalty via crucifixion on a cross. His name is Jesus. He's the Savior of the world. He's the Good Shepherd. He didn't do anything bad. He did something good by going to the cross. And our punishment was transferred to our good and merciful shepherd. And at that moment, divine clemency flowed the color red from His bloody body. They put Him in the grave. And 3 days later, He rose from the dead and declared victory over sin, death, and the devil. And that event in and of itself separates our good shepherd from any wannabe shepherd, any hireling out there, anybody who says, hey, follow me. No, our good shepherd did what no other shepherd did and gave His life for His sheep. This is why He's a good and merciful shepherd. So say those words with me again. Surely, come on now, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Rest assured that the sheepdogs of heaven will never stop following you, child of God, sheep of His pasture. They'll follow you all the days of your life, which means there's not a single day in your life that your good shepherd does not flank you with His goodness and mercy. Even when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, goodness and mercy are not far, far away. They're nearby all the days of your life. And that's good news today. There was a woman who needed counseling many, many years ago, and she went to see the famous evangelist of the 19th century named D.L. Moody. She said to him, two men are following me. They follow me wherever I go. It's freaking me out a little bit. I get on the bus and they're sitting right behind me. The bus stops and I get off and they jump off with me. She even said to Mr. Moody, she said, they followed me all the way to your office. And it took only a moment for the evangelist to kind of figure out she was not all there. She had kind of a glazed look in her eye. She was mentally disturbed. But D.L. Moody wanted to minister to her that day. And he said to her, Ma'am, I think I know who those two men are. They're part of King David's security guard. Their names are Goodness and Mercy. And then he turned to Psalm chapter 23 and verse 6, and he read these words, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And that comforted that disturbed woman that day. You may not have a disturbed mind today, but maybe you have a disturbed heart. Maybe something bad has happened. Maybe something has terribly disturbed your heart. Let the Word of God, the truth of God's Word, the sureness of it, the assurance of your soul, the confidence that we can have as we step into the future, let that minister to you today. As you just let these words pour over your soul, as broken as it might be today, as hurting as it might be, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Thanks for being here for today's Something Good radio message, The Sheepdogs of Heaven. Dr. Ron Jones joins me now. Ron, when we consider the goodness and mercy of God, it supplies us with an endless list of things for which we should be thankful. But I'm not sure we always have full appreciation for His goodness and mercy, especially when things are going badly. Let's talk about that for a minute as we wrap things up here on Something Good.
You know, Brian, it's interesting that you use the word thankful. I originally preached this sermon from the pulpit of my church on Thanksgiving weekend. And that's kind of what we see here in the whole chapter is the spirit of thanksgiving. King David being grateful for God's presence, for His provision, for His protection, all of which point to God's goodness and mercy. And the only way to recognize God's goodness and mercy is to be looking for them. We don't always do that, Brian. Frankly, when bad things happen, very often the last thing we look for, the last thing we'll notice, is just how good and merciful God is being right then and there in that minute. We're too busy feeling devastated, overwhelmed, maybe even a bit angry. These are the days when it may seem as though God is nowhere to be found, but He's there, Brian. I promise you He's there, and He brought His goodness and mercy with Him. So I'd like to encourage our listeners to take a lesson from King David. David had complete confidence in God's goodness and mercy, not merely as divine attributes that he might have heard about from the stories of other people, but rather attributes David knew God would share with him every single day of his life. How's that for faith, Brian? You know, all of us should have that kind of trust and confidence in the goodness and mercy of God. Because those two attributes are not circumstantial. They are constant. And so let's be assured of the thing we're hoping for, that every minute of every day we're flanked by the goodness and mercy of God. That's what faith is, Brian, an assurance of what we're hoping for. And when we operate in faith, we'll begin to notice the goodness and mercy of God in ways we never did before.
Such a great description of God's steadfast goodness and mercy. Thanks for that word of encouragement, Ron. Now, before we go, how about telling us what's in store for us tomorrow as you continue your teaching series, Psalm 23 and Me, Living the Good Life with the Good Shepherd?
Well, Brian, next we come to the final few words of Psalm chapter 23, where David writes, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Think about this, Brian. When that day comes, there will no longer be a valley of the shadow of death. There will no longer be any evil to fear. There will no longer be the need for comfort, at least not in the way we understand comfort here in a sinful and fallen world. All of these things David talks about earlier in Psalm 23, you know, the Lord's protection and His provision, His promises, all of these things will be one day swallowed up in the Lord's eternal presence. And Brian, I want to dive into the beauty of this everlasting dwelling place. I'm not going to do it justice, no one can, but I promise to give it my best shot. As we continue my series, Psalm 23 and Me, Living the Good Life with the Good Shepherd.
Looking forward to it, Ron. The message is called My Forever Home, and it comes your way next time. Join us then for Something Good. For Rod and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis. Thanks for listening.